Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. I send my greetings out to all my brothers and sisters as the nation is plunged into the deep freeze once again. Happy to report that all the livestock here at the McBurney compound are in relatively good shape. Although the peacocks have occupied the garage and the smell is getting to be, well, let's just say we're glad it's cold for at least one reason. The peafowl in the garage. But to all that aside, I know that's not why you tune in to get an update on the peafowl. I know you want to hear the news of the week that is to come and news from the week that was. And so let's start with some of that. We'll start by talking about DNA. One of my favorite topics, DNA. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff is deoxyribonucleic acid, the library of information in every cell of the body that are basically the instructions on how to build you and how to maintain you and how to do all the things that your biological systems require. Well, you may or may not know that we have called here at the Weekly Worldview, as has my pastor on his radio show for 25 years, for a national DNA database. So I want to start by talking about dog poop. I said dog poop, yes. That's what I said. Pay attention. Just trying to make sure that you're listening. But there is a growing commercial interest in dog poop DNA services. That's right. Many gated communities and other such communities, condos, homeowners associations, and whatnot, are employing companies like Mr. Dog Poop to analyze the DNA of dog poop to help property owners and homeowners associations catch residents who don't pick up after their pets. Yes, as reported at Circa.com, a Consumer Reports magazine survey revealed that for Americans, dog poop is among their top complaints just about life in general. Other people's dog poop in their yards, on their stoops, on their balconies. Well, that would have to be your dog's poop if it was on your balcony, right? Well, so if you move into some of these gated communities, condo associations, you have to give a DNA sample from your dog. Because in order for this to work, in order for the homeowners association to be able to track you down if your dog has offended, there has to be a database of all the DNA of all the puppies in the complex. And so people submit their dogs bodily fluids or something for DNA. So urban liberals, they willingly sign up for a database for their dog poop, because dog poop is one of the top complaints amongst urban liberals. But what about murder? Is murder a big enough problem that the urban liberals will eventually sign on to the idea of a database for every human being in America, so that when a crime is committed, the evidence can be analyzed and the perpetrators caught? Why would an urban liberal be willing to give his dog's DNA, but not his own DNA, to a national database? I don't understand it. Because murder, I think, should be a complaint that registers higher than someone else's dog poop in your yard. I would just think that. At least it is to me. Not that I'm not annoyed if someone else's dog makes a mess in my yard. But it's not nearly as big a problem as the crime epidemic engulfing the nation. And so we reissue our call here today for a national database. We'll send that up the chain to Jeff Sessions, see if he's interested in actually preventing crime, in actually reducing crime, because crime would dramatically decrease if everyone knew that their DNA was on file. And I would volunteer to be the first fella to register mine and my children's, as a matter of fact. So, there we have it. Now, speaking of crimes, high crimes, and misdemeanors, if you watched Sheriff Joe Arpaio's news conference this past week, and very few people did, well, I'll put a link to it because you should watch this, because very compelling evidence has been brought forward, as reported by WorldNet Daily, evidence that the document presented on April 27, 2011, by Barack Hussein Obama, the sitting president of the United States, the document that he claimed is his Hawaiian birth certificate is fake, fake, fake. In fact, it's 9 times fake. There are 9 points of forgery, well laid out. 9 points of undeniable forgery between the alleged birth certificate of Barack Hussein Obama and one Johanna Ane, whose birth certificate was obviously the source document for the fake document that Barry and his staff waved around at that news conference. Well, last Thursday, Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio presented evidence that the image of the birth document posted by the White House was fraudulent, but Joe is leaving office January 1st. He lost his election out there. George Soros threw a lot of money into that one. Sheriff Joe was defeated, and his incoming replacement as the sheriff of Maricopa County has announced that he will cut off Sheriff Arpaio's investigation into Obama's fake birth certificate. And so Joe is going to send the report, the investigation, the proof that the document is fake. He's going to send that to Congress. And then it will disappear forever, and no one will ever talk about it again. That's my prediction. Nobody will ever talk about it again, even though Donald Trump was quite the birther at one time. He won't touch this with a 10-foot pole, because it's so obvious that Barry and his staff are guilty of presenting a fraudulent government document, which is a felony, by the way. And we just can't have the former president of the United States, as he's establishing his library and his foundation, to be accused of a crime as high as the felony fraudulent presentation of a fake government document. It just won't happen. And it's a sad commentary on the state of governance in America. A couple of interesting factoids here in the WorldNet Daily story. Among the many records that the Barry Ho administration has refused to release are the marriage license of his father and mother, his name change records from Barry Soetero to Barack Hussein Obama, adoption records, records of his and his mother's repatriation to the U.S. from Indonesia, his baptism records, his elementary school records, his high school records, his financial aid records from Occidental College, his Harvard Law School records, Columbia senior thesis, his Columbia College records, his records with the Illinois State Bar Association, files from his term as an Illinois State Senator, his law client list, his medical records, his passport records, and membership records from several Chicago area bathhouses circa 1994. No, he has released none of it. Ah, I made that last one up. Although he has not presented those, that's for sure. So, see, that's not fake news because he actually has not made those records public. And so there, the sitting president of the United States is a felon. And is anyone surprised? No. Is anyone going to do anything about it? Well, I've done something about it. Sheriff Joe did something about it just by standing up and saying it's true. But will it result in any type of prosecution? Well, I think not. Because the law only applies to those people upon whom the government determines it shall be applied, and it does not apply to those whom the government decides it shall not be inflicted. So there you have it. That should have been a big story, but it's not a very big story, surprisingly enough. Now, what does this atmosphere of lawlessness lead to? Well, just furtherance of the crime epidemic that is engulfing the nation. I have a story here from CBS News in New York. A 30-year-old man in New York City was jumped outside of a co-op building in Fort Greene on the Friday before Thanksgiving. The assailants began punching him. They threw him to the ground before taking off with the man's laptop, headphones, and library book. The shocking thing about this story is that surveillance footage shows that the four young suspects robbing and attacking the man were a group of children, one of them reportedly as young as 8 years old. They say what they think they have is two boys, 12 to 14, a girl between 12 and 14, and an 8 to 9 year old boy who approached this poor guy and beat him up and stole his property. This is from the domestic tranquility file here at the Weekly Worldview. And there's just not a lot of domestic tranquility there in New York City when you've got 8 year olds participating in a mugging. They say that if Barack Obama had had a son, he would have looked a lot like this 8-year-old, from what we understand. But Mr. Obama has not addressed the situation, just as he has not addressed the situation of his fake, phony birth certificate. All right. Now let's move on deeper into the domestic tranquility file. We find reason number 1,088. To get or keep your children out of the government schools. We go to Tonkawa, Oklahoma, where 9 News in Oklahoma City is reporting that a 13-year-old girl was arrested. She was suspected of plotting a mass shooting at her Oklahoma high school. The police executed a search warrant. They seized handguns, rifles, ammunition in the girl's personal writings, where she apparently laid out the plot. The 13-year-old is currently being held at a youth detention center. Investigators say they just don't know what the possible motive could have been. They just don't know. Let me make a suggestion. How about a lifetime of godlessness, meaninglessness, and hopelessness, coupled with the daily vicious brutality of institutionalization with other similar little heathens in the government school system? How about that? That's what I think. And we shall see. By the way, Tonkawa, Oklahoma, is a town of about 3,200 people. Small town America. Where now 13-year-old girls are suspected of planning mass murder at their high schools. Well, 13, that's not even high school, right? Junior high school? Middle school, for crying out loud. If Barack Hussein Obama had had a daughter, she may look a lot like this 13-year-old girl in Tonkawa, Oklahoma. Or at least she might think a lot like that girl. Well, Barry has daughters, right? Allegedly. He has 2 younger females who live with him there in the White House. Well, I guess we could assume they're his daughters. Although since he faked his birth certificate, it's kind of hard to believe anything the fella says anymore. Yeah, I find it hard to believe. Now, let's move on deeper as we go to reason number 1,089 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Oh, reason number 1,088, by the way, was that they might be gunned down by a 13-year-old who's been picked on by the vicious little heathens in her school. Reason number 1,089, well, let's just go to Clovis, California, the Central Valley. A third student at Clovis West High School has committed suicide. It's the third student since the start of the school year to commit suicide at Clovis West High. August 31st, the first suicide took place on August 31st. The second took place a couple of weeks ago. And now we've had a third. The school district there says more than a dozen school psychologists were on campus last week, including a therapy dog. to help the students deal with the suicide epidemic. However, they say some students and parents remain shaken despite the therapy dog. Teen suicides are skyrocketing, according to this report from yourcentralvalley.com. Suicides amongst teenagers are skyrocketing across Fresno County. Last Thursday morning, suicide was the 11th teen suicide in the county this year, compared to just 4 in the county all of last year. The superintendent has issued a statement. Superintendent Janet says, "This is a heartbreaking loss for Clovis West High School. We will continue to allocate every resource available to support the entire well-being of our kids. We are asking for our community to be a partner in watching out for our kids. If a family member or a friend is experiencing emotional struggles, reach out to that child's school and we will act immediately to offer hope, support, and encouragement to help our kids know they are cared for and cared about." Well, who exactly cares, Superintendent Janet? You? You care? How can you care? You're just a randomly animated accident of evolution, just like your students. Why would it matter if you care? Why would they care if you care? And if what you're teaching their kids, not my kids, I can assure you, Superintendent Janet, you'll never get your mitts on my kids. But if what you're teaching them is actually true, why would it matter if anyone cared? And why should anyone care if someone else commits suicide?
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on.
The Weekly Worldview, I am Doug McBurney, and I do care. I do care. Because none of these children are randomly animated accidents of evolution as they are being taught by their teachers and their counselors and their therapy dogs. Well, no, the therapy dog would never believe something so foolish. But we do care. And that's why we give you reasons to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Because you don't want them to be taught that they're just an accident. Because then nobody cares after a while. Because that's the logical conclusion of all of that. And so we encourage you to homeschool your children, because it is going to be a generation of homeschooled children that save the heathens from themselves. And their government, frankly. Now, let's go. We've been talking about crime here in America. Well, let's go down to Mexico City and see how all this ends up if something doesn't change dramatically and soon. Dateline Mexico City from the Star Telegram. Mexico's drug war, as you know, continues day by day. Well, angry people in a southern town in Mexico have kidnapped the mother of a gang leader to demand the release of their loved ones whom the gang leader has kidnapped. And now the government is responding there by sending soldiers and police to try to defuse the situation in Totolapan, a province there in Mexico. The town has been controlled for years by a drug boss, a gang leader who calls himself El Taquillero, which roughly translates the tequila drinker. El Taquillero. Yes. And now, That's last week, the Taquilleros gang allegedly kidnapped several inhabitants of Totolapan in order to extort their families for money, as you can well imagine. Well, on this Monday past, a woman appeared in a video posted online. And she said on that video that the townspeople had captured El Taquillero's mother and would exchange her for their loved ones. Authorities say they understand the residents' frustration, but they say what's happening is you can't just kidnap people because they've kidnapped your people. This ends up in more fighting and even more kidnapping. And, well, what's a poor Mexican to do? Because the government there is so corrupt that, well, listen to this. The only known public appearance of the gang leader, El Taquillero, in his only public appearance, he was captured on video drinking with the town's mayor-elect. And so what are you supposed to do? It's horrible that things have devolved to vigilante justice in Totolapan, Mexico. But there you have it. And if this environment of lawlessness continues in America, well, it will just be a matter of time before we devolve to the level of a third world banana republic. Like the township there in Totolapan. And it starts right at the top. That's right, with Barry and his fake birth certificate. You can't let the guy get by with that. But we shall see what happens. All right, now, let's go. We have a new file here in the here at the Weekly Worldview. It's called the Stop Donald Trump file. Yes, a couple of weeks ago, on the terrestrial radio here in Denver, AM 670, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, Bob Enyard and I called upon all the conservatives who endorsed Trump because we have to stop Hillary. We have to stop her. She'll destroy the country. We have to stop her. Well, now that she's been stopped, we're calling on our conservative and Christian brethren to stop Donald Trump when he does things that are just overtly godless and destructive. And one of those things was to appoint Rex Tillerson as the Secretary of State designate. Rex Tillerson, they tout him as a friend of big oil and a friend of Vladimir Putin and a ExxonMobil and all of that. So the liberals naturally have a knee-jerk reaction in the media to continue the false dialectic that there is actually a liberal versus conservative battle going on in America. And they all fret that Rex Tillerson is somehow going to set back the liberal cause. He's going to deny global warming, drill for oil. And I hope he does all that, although I don't think the Secretary of State is in charge of drilling for oil. I'm sure he would be all for it. But what I remember about Rex Tillerson, and I only remember this because I was reminded by Tony Perkins, is that Rex Tillerson was the former head of the Boy Scouts of America who started the conversation to end the don't ask, don't tell policy regarding homosexual perverts in the Boy Scouts. He lobbied the Scouts board to accept open homosexual youths, according to John Hammer, president of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, of which Tillerson is also a board member. Hammer says that Tillerson thought a lot about the issue of homosexual Boy Scouts. He prayed about it because he's a Christian, right? And Rex came to the conclusion that what was best for the young boys was to open the Boy Scouts up to homosexuals. After he prayed about it, of course, just to freak out the liberals. Let's see here. Tillerson writes about tough decisions like the one he made to sodomize the Boy Scouts. And here, listen to what Tillerson says. And this is why there's a problem with executive corporate management in America. I shouldn't say this is why there's a problem. This is evidence that there is a serious problem in the corridors of power of America's major industrial corporations. Tillerson says, regardless of where you were on this decision, it's very normal for people to feel like there are winners and losers, but that's not true. Tillerson says there are neither winners nor losers. After the decision, what's left is the mission, and the mission has not changed. The only thing that has changed is how we are going to implement the change. The mission remains the same, according to... And what was the mission? Apparently, it was to sodomize the Boy Scouts. Apparently, that was... I can't imagine what the mission could be. After you make a change like that, Rex, that's a pretty significant change. And to assert that allowing homos into the tents of the Boy Scouts produces no winners or losers proves that you are morally unhinged and not qualified to lead a Boy Scout troop. And frankly, ExxonMobil or the State Department, in my humble opinion. I want to thank Tony Perkins for at least publishing a protest about this. And I think all of you who endorsed Donald Trump or worked for him or encouraged other people to vote for him, it is now incumbent upon you to stop Donald Trump when he does things like this. Rex Tillerson, by the way, is a member of the notoriously left-wing socialist homosexualist Congregationalist Church. Yes, the Congregationalists. They pile up every Sunday and defile the gospel within the walls of their churches, Rex Tillerson being chief amongst them. So when Donald Trump does things like this, I expect to hear from conservatives. And maybe that's a bridge too far for them. They don't want to admit that they endorsed a self-absorbed, egomaniacal strip club owner who doesn't know the first thing about godly leadership. George Washington be spinning in his grave, for crying out loud. But now let's go to an attempt at calling out an alleged conservative by another alleged conservative. We go to the James Dobson, John Kasich conversation of last week after John Kasich was confronted with two bills on his desk as the governor of Ohio. Kasich had a choice. He could sign the bill that bans all abortions after a heartbeat is detected, which would ostensibly make illegal the killing of any child after about 6 weeks of gestation, which would effectively make criminal virtually all abortions in the state of Ohio. So he had that bill on his desk. He had another bill that banned any abortion after 20 weeks, which is about 5% of abortions or less. Well, John Kasich signed the 20-week bill. So he made legal 95%+ of all abortions, or he continued the legal status of such child killing. And he vetoed, via line item veto, the 6-week heartbeat bill. Now, you know here at the Weekly Worldview that we believe that an unborn child is a person with an inalienable right to life granted to that person by the living God. And so we don't support the regulation of child killing in any manner. But Kasich took the 20 weeks and he laid the 6 weeks on the table, as they say. And that got James Dobson all upset. Yep, James Dobson excoriated Mr. Kasich. Dobson says, the governor isn't as committed to life as he professed to be. He says millions of Americans have fought for the rights of the unborn for decades. Notice what James Dobson says there. He says we've been fighting for the rights, plural, of the unborn. The reason James Dobson uses the plural rights is because he cannot use the singular right to life, because James Dobson abandoned the right to life decades ago. And so he just uses an amorphous phrase like rights because he doesn't believe in the right to life. Dobson says, we who fight for the rights of the unborn have never lost faith. There's a growing movement to finally reject the barbarism of abortion and to finally protect the rights of the unborn. He says that the six-week heartbeat bill would have been a step in the right direction. And he pledges to redouble our efforts, does Mr. Dobson, until we finally fully win and all of that. So I sent an email to James Dobson. I happen to have his personal email address. Yes, I do. And I said, Mr. Dobson, you are criticizing John Kasich. You have trained politicians like Kasich to ignore the right to life and instead sign regulations on how and when and how many children may be murdered. John Kasich merely disagrees with you, Mr. Dobson, about when and how many. The first time you abandon the right to life and endorse politicians who would vote to kill even one innocent child and endorse the regulation of child killing, you forfeited, Mr. Dobson, any moral authority to speak to the issue on any level. You may still have a bullhorn, Mr. Dobson, but the ringing of it is hollow. There ain't no people you can trust. That's right. There really is only one way out of legalized child killing, and that is to reaffirm by law the personhood of every human being, no matter their state of dependency or disability. That's the only way. And James Dobson, John Kasich, they abandoned that decades ago, and they should be ashamed of themselves, and they're not qualified to lead. And therefore, I wish they would shut up and retire. Just get out. Let someone more qualified take their places. All right. Now, let us, now that we have excoriated those who needed excoriation, if that is indeed the term, we will move on into the Queering of America file, where the National Geographic magazine made history, or is about to make history in their December 27th issue, when they will feature on the cover a mentally ill transgendered person who is 9 years old. So just let that sink in for a second. A 9-year-old transgendered mentally ill child, obviously the victim of abuse, is going to be on the cover of National Geographic. And when you look at the cover, it is... it's creepy because the child is so obviously sexualized in the picture. It's criminal is what it is. It's criminal what they are about to do, and they will be celebrated for it by the same type of heathens who drove the girl to suicide there. Where was that story? Yeah, the teenagers who are killing themselves in Fresno County. They're being tortured psychologically and spiritually by the same type of people who are going to celebrate National Geographic and putting a sexually suggestive picture of a 9-year-old tranny on their cover. This person, whose name I will not use, is actually a boy. But on the National Geographic cover, he appears as a sexually ambiguous person. It's just disgusting. This person rose to stardom, documenting his transition on YouTube in front of God and everybody. Proud, his mom and dad probably encouraging. Let's see. The article from Fusion.net says that this tranny has always been sure of his gender and that he loves who he is now. Of course, they use the pronoun she. That I refuse to do that. That's all. So the National Geographic will defile themselves and abuse a child and commit, in my opinion, what should be a felonious crime on December 27th when they publish the issue, which will be accompanied by a TV documentary produced by National Geographic and hosted by Katie Couric. I remember Katie Couric when she first became the host of the Today Show. I believe it was back in the early 80s. And she was the all-American girl. Men and women could relate to Katie Couric because she was so genuine and clean and real and honest. And now she's going to promote self-mutilation, mental and spiritual disability, and the abuse of children on national television, right alongside National Geographic. I've got it. Do I have a quote here? From the editor-in-chief, Susan Goldberg. She says that the issue of National Geographic, along with the documentary, are an attempt to tell the stories of transgendered people that might not necessarily get widespread coverage otherwise. I don't understand what you're talking about, Ms. Goldberg. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a tranny story anymore. Who's not getting coverage? The trannies are being covered left and right. The pronouns are being flung around and banished. And there's a tranny around every corner, it would seem. She says only the famous trannies get coverage. And then she puts a famous tranny on the cover of her magazine. So anyway, the editor-in-chief there at National Geographic says, quote, "We wanted to look at gender as a spectrum. Spectrum. Especially with the young kids. You know, it can be difficult and confusing being a teenage child. And so let's just throw into that mix confusion about your sex. That's going to be very helpful. These people should be arrested for what they're about to do. It should not be allowed. Now, will Donald Trump or anyone in his administration, would any of them consider the promotion of transgenderism among children a crime? No, they don't consider it that. In fact, they will celebrate it. And, well, if Hillary had won, at least the conservatives, they would stand up and shout about Hillary promoting transgenderism. But will they stand up when Trump does it? When Trump promotes sexual deviancy and perversion and sexual immorality and homosexuality? No, they won't. No. Well, they can't because they done hooked their wagon to that star. And I guess there's no coming back from that. Although, well, Tony Perkins, at least he spoke up. So I, for any of you conservatives out there who are just afraid that if you stand up now and try to stop Donald Trump, if you're just afraid, well, don't be afraid. Tony Perkins did it. He hasn't been fired yet. In fact, he's acquitted himself of some of his manifold sins in supporting Donald Trump. Yes, I said manifold sins. Yes, that's what I do believe. Conservative Christian leaders across the nation committed manifold sins in their support for the overly ambitious strip club owner from New York City, Donald J. Trump. All right, now, speaking of pronouns, let's see here. There's been a guidebook has been sent out to schools all across Britain. This is from DennisMichaelLynch.com. The guidebook warns educators and students against using sex-specific terms such as boys and girls, which the guidebook asserts discriminates against transgenders. Because after all, there's a transgender around every corner. The place is crawling with them. They're everywhere. They're in the news almost every day. And there's so many of them now that we can't afford to offend them, obviously. Let's see. Children as young as 7 years old are to be taught in schools not to use the terms boys or girls. These are going out to elementary, secondary, and high school, to high schools throughout the United Kingdom, along with a book called Can I Tell You About Gender Diversity? That tells the story of hormone blockers being used by a fictional 12-year-old person transgendering from female to male. Anyway, that's all going on. It's billed by the publishers as the first book to explain medical transitioning for children age 7 and above. It's distributed by Educate and Celebrate, a British government-funded body that goes into primary and secondary schools to give lessons on mental illness. I'm sorry, on gender diversity. Do you think it's possible that someday I will be arrested for what I'm saying? I think it's possible that what I'm saying will actually be classified as a crime, whereas encouraging a 12-year-old to take hormones and disfigure themselves in order to deny their sex, that will be considered cutting edge of human evolution. And I will be a criminal for trying to warn people not to abuse children. And abusing children will become celebrated, and it will be the standard. If you're not willing to participate in the abuse, eventually you will be arrested, I do believe. And we shall see, I suppose, as time goes forward. Time waits for no man, they say. And so, by the way, back to the story from Dennis Michael Lynch. Cambridge University has also begun talking about gender-neutral issues. We've got a quote from Sophie, the welfare officer of the student union. She says, events now start. Events at Cambridge now start with a speaker introducing themselves using a gender-neutral pronoun. Sophie says that gender-neutral pronouns are good. It should happen not only in events, but at lectures, too. That's according to a tranny at the King's College at Cambridge. All right, so there you have it. Now, the homosexualists, the deviants, and the perverts, now that they've utterly corrupted the institutions and sodomized, at least psychologically and spiritually, most of the children and the educators and administrators within all levels of the educational system throughout the United Kingdom, now that they have destroyed the institutions, they are going to begin working on the language. And they will post-haste focus their efforts on tearing down the very language that defines reality. And once the language eliminates reality from the equation, I mean, what else is to come but madness? Madness. That's what we are devolving into, madness. Or I should say they are. I'm not. I certainly hope you are not. I mean, I know I'm a boy. Always knew I was a boy. I played some girls' games when I was a little kid. I even played with dolls. But my daddy didn't say, well, gee, Douglas, maybe you're a girl. That never crossed my daddy's mind because he was not insane. He was not a criminal. These people who deny he and she and who encourage 9-year-olds to mutilate themselves and deny their sex, they're criminal. They're criminally insane people. And they are dominating the pop culture, the educational culture, the governments, the judicial systems, and now, well, even the military. As the sodomization of the military takes place throughout Western civilization. And what are you going to do when all the judges are mad and all the TV producers are mad and all the generals are mad? Just an entire world run by madmen. That's what we'll end up with. And I believe it all started, by the way, in the Christian church and in the Christian marriage. Yeah, that's what I said. When the Christians abandoned fidelity and treated marriage as a disposable institution, we invited upon ourselves this madness. A proposed amendment to Italy's civil code is set to remove the word fidelity from the Italian marriage contract. Yeah, this is from the local in Italy. The promise not to cheat, which is included in the current marriage license, is being called a cultural legacy from an outdated and obsolete vision of marriage, according to a bunch of perverted mad senators who have signed the bill. They cited a ruling from Italy's top court declaring that judges could not legally place the blame for a marriage separation on the mere failure to observe the duty of fidelity. So this bill, which has been passed by the Senate Judiciary Committee in Italy, this bill goes on to argue that it was originally included, this idea of fidelity was originally included to determine whether or not children were legitimate or not, which is a topic you can't even talk about anymore. The idea that any child could be illegitimate. They say that's a hateful legal distinction between legitimate and natural children, and that was eliminated from all forms of government documents in the European Union back in starting in 2012. And so references to fidelity and faithfulness were removed from Italy's civil unions bills when they passed homosexual marriage. And that made some of the homos angry because they saw it as a failure to acknowledge the fact that the alleged fact that same-sex and opposite-sex relationships are equal. But the people writing the bills, they knew that it wasn't equal, but they were all mentally deranged anyways. And so instead, the same-sex unions bill there in Italy simply refers to moral and material support and cohabitation. Senators arguing for the fidelity clause to be dropped said that the wording of the civil unions bill is a much more advanced model than to imply that anyone should observe fidelity. Why, in the minds of the mad, why, that's madness. Doug McBurney, welcome back. So good to have you along as we watch the world go mad. But we remain sane and intact, as a matter of fact. Yes. Now, I had just been mentioning marriage, and it appears that the stars of HGTV's Flip or Flop, you remember that show? Tarek and Christina? Yes, they have separated after 7 years of marriage, and it turns out that he started sleeping with the nanny, and she started sleeping with one of their contractors, and at least that's what's being reported. And so they're going to break up for the good of their family and for their children. Yes, in the best interests. They're currently evaluating their marriage and plan to continue working together professionally and in the best interest of their children. Mm-hmm. They are the parents of a 6-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son. They had another kid. We used to watch this show back when it first came on. It was entertaining when it first started, like so many of these reality shows. Yeah, she started to dress like a stripper and got the plastic surgery, and that's when you know things are... It was the model of the John and Kate plus eight, that model. As soon as the wife starts dressing up like a stripper and getting the plastic surgery, you know it's all coming down, man. And apparently it has. HGTV released a statement. They said they admire and appreciate Tarek and Christina's great work. They're great, wonderful people. We respect their privacy. We honor any decision that works best for them and their children. Any decision. And we are going to honor it. And they say that the series will continue production as scheduled. Yes. So the tearing apart, the ripping asunder of the American family is not even a speed bump. These two children are damaged for life now. Their whole world has been ripped apart. And it's not even a speed bump. It's just great. We're going to honor any decision. There's no shame anymore. It's disgusting. And it's sad. And I feel sorry for the kids. Because whatever these two decide to do, as far as getting divorced, it's not going to be in the best interest of the children. Divorce is never in the best interest of the children unless one of the spouses is abusing the children. Then maybe. And even then, it's never in the best interest. It would have been better had none of that occurred. But that's, what you know, when you get men and women working together, it's just not a good idea for married people to be working with other people who are not their wives on a regular basis or husbands. It's just dangerous. A man has got to know his limitations. And we're all just flesh and blood. And so just don't put yourself in situations like that. Because it's dangerous. And well, there you have it. The state of domestic tranquility in America. A broadcast on television. The ripping asunder of the American family. All right, now, more from the domestic tranquility file from CBS in Los Angeles. Captain Eric Wuve, a 41-year-old fire captain, leaped from the overpass onto the freeway just before 11:20 a.m. last Tuesday and then was struck by vehicles and killed. jumped off from the Crown Valley Parkway overpass onto the San Diego Freeway in Mission Viejo, Orange County, California. He was married and the father of a 14-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl. I wonder if HGTV, if he had been working for HGTV, would they release a statement saying, well, we honor any decision that Captain Eric makes in regards to his career and his children. He jumped off a bridge into traffic and killed himself. It's all well and good. They don't know why this fella did this. But probably he was having some hard times. Financially, spiritually, emotionally, he was probably a basket case. And since suicide is now legal, either overtly or just through a lack of punishment and a promotion of suicide as an option, he chose to jump off the Crown Valley Parkway onto I-5 and kill himself. It's another family detonation that barely registers on the American psyche's Richter scale. It barely creates the tiniest wave. This is a story that should shock the nation, but it happens so often that we're not capable of being shocked by it anymore. And after all, isn't suicide just one other lifestyle choice? And who are we to judge? All right. Now, I heard about this story at church this morning, but I had already read about it. Disney and 21st Century Fox have won a court order shutting down a Utah-based video streaming business that lets subscribers watch Hollywood movies stripped of the really dirty, dirty stuff. they bleep out the really dirty stuff. Yeah. It's called VidAngel. It's a pile of Mormons who, basically, they give Christians the idea that you can ingest the filth of Hollywood and we'll take out the really, really dirty stuff and it'll be okay. So I'm against VidAngel. I'm against any of that garbage. I don't have an appetite for any of the filth that Hollywood vomits out. I was on Facebook by accident. And I was reading a post by a young man who he's friended me for years. I have no idea who the kid is. But he goes on and on about a college football game and a UFC championship fight. And then he goes on and on about Star Wars, the new Star Wars film. And I'm thinking, is this why George Washington's army froze to death in Valley Forge so that the young men of America could squander their youth on entertainment and waste their lives posting every irrelevant tidbit about their pathetic lives on Facebook for the entertainment of themselves and others? This is where we are. The world is melting down and going insane, despite what you Trumpeteers think. You think Trump is going to save it all, you're fools. The youth are being abused and destroyed right before our eyes in mass by the millions. And VidAngel, these Mormons, I didn't know this, but our pastor Bob pointed out that they do not filter out homosexuality or references to homosexuality or other types of sexual perversion. Just the really, really dirty stuff is all they take out. Go ahead, stick the sewer hose in your mouth. We're gonna filter out the really, really bad stuff. I'm glad they're shut down. And I don't really care because you know what? I know where Disney and 21st Century Fox are coming from. I know exactly what they are. I know exactly who they are. I know they're not welcome in my house. And I certainly don't want a pile of Mormons giving anyone in my family the idea that this somehow can give you the ability to participate in the culture. What did our pastor say this morning? Oh, he said this is a service that helps Christians to not completely ostracize themselves from the culture. And I thought, well, why would you want to do that? I would prefer to ostracize myself. I voluntarily ostracize myself from the culture, and I don't want to participate in any of it. It's filthy and disgusting. There. All right, from the war file, a bit of, well, perhaps some good news. As the show draws to a close here, there is a journalist missing in Syria. He disappeared while reporting near the Syrian capital of Damascus back in August. Is a freelance journalist named Tice. And, Austin Tice. He's been missing since August of 2012. Republican Congressman John Cornyn reports that he thinks he's still alive. Tice is a Texas native. He's a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps and was a law student at Georgetown. Okay. Well, hopefully he'll reconsider that backsliding. I mean, going from the Marine Corps to law school, that's pretty bad. That's falling pretty far. So hopefully he's alive and he can be rescued. Cornyn says he's strongly encouraging the current and future administration to continue to utilize all possible means to secure the safe return of Austin Tice alive from Syria. And you notice Cornyn encouraged the current and future administration. That's because Cornyn knows that the current administration will do nothing. No, they went for Bo Bergdahl. They paid a ransom for Bo Bergdahl. They're not going to rescue Austin Tice in a daring midnight raid because they've already squandered all the political capital they have. And there's nothing in it for them. There's nothing in it for Barry to save Austin Tice. Therefore, it will be left to a better man than he in the military leadership. I'm trying to think, Flynn, is that his name? Yeah, it'll be left to General Flynn to carry out the raid because Barry, well, there's just nothing in it for Barry anymore. And so why would he want to get his hands dirty? Here so close to the end of his historic presidency. All right, the Chinese took a U.S. Navy drone. You've all heard the story. Can you believe this? The USNS Bowditch is an oceanographic survey ship was operating in the South China Sea. When the Bowditch stopped to collect the drone, which is the property of the United States Navy, a Chinese warship dropped a boat in the water, pulled up alongside the Navy vessel, and snatched the drone right under the watching eyes of the United States Navy. And then the guys on the ship, they're just standing there. They don't even know what to do. What do you do? The Chinese are stealing our drone right in front of us, and they didn't do anything. They should have blown that ship out of the water is what they should have done. They should have called in an airstrike and blown that ship out of the water, and then you tell the Chinese, don't do that again. And I know everyone's terrified. You don't want to start a war with the Chinese. Well, it seems like the Chinese are trying to start a war with us. And if they want to start a war, well, I would prefer we start it on our terms if it has to come. And I believe that, I won't say it has to come, but I believe it's coming. The demographic disaster in China is going to lead to a generation of young men who need something to do, and that will be to make war upon other nations. And, this is a fine exclamation point on the Barack Obama administration. Definitely shows exactly what he has done to our military. And on that note, we will say goodbye. I will remind you that should the Lord tarry, we will return. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. We will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.